we do appreciate that these wonderful moments in the evening where we look upon God's word seriously and theologically. And the morning is more a council service and a light of the gospel. And I just got one email so far that on the radio, and is insulting Christianity. It said that you people are fanatics, and you want us to, now that Trump had nothing to do with Trump, but now that Trump is president, you want to enforce the Bible in all of us. And I sent it back, and I never answered, but this afternoon I sent one back. I said, I hope so. I said that we will send the police to your house if you don't believe. Let's see what happens. But it's just, you can see the downhill of our country. And nobody is saying anything. Nobody's talking about politics or anything, but they're afraid that if we go back. He said, what we need now is to go steps back in history and go back to the Bible. What a terrible thing will happen to America. And I thought, it would be great, don't we? If we go back to the Bible. I don't think America will go that way, but it's, people are afraid or going back to the Bible. And that's no news, no? You read the Bible and goes through. Let's pray. Father, we look upon the scripture tonight in a very serious passage that speaks about all of us. The fight that we have between sin and a life of faithfulness to you. And so we pray that as we read the scripture and meditate upon, we will be able to say, thank you, Father, that you love us anyway. In Jesus we pray, amen. You do well if you turn your Bible to Romans chapter 7. We will study from verses 14 to 25. Now, this time I have done Romans 7 differently than what I did about 20 years ago. This time I took Romans 7 as a testimony of the life of there is one more outline here for my wife or not? All right, thank you so much. I took as a personal testimony of Paul's life. We saw the first part, and I want to say that for me this is one of the easiest passage in the Bible to identify with. It tells the absolute truth about the life of a believer, more than the life of Paul. There has been, if you read books or commentaries, there have been a series of discrepancies in the people that interpret this passage. But I tell you, there is no discrepancy when you take the passage personal and you are true to what you read. Now, he's writing the autobiography of Paul, not the apostle, but the autobiography of the man, really, Paul. And he is at the same time writing about you and me, the struggles that we go in life. So let's look to these verses. What I like to do is I'm going to read it first, and then we're going to go in the stages that I see the division that comes as he talks about himself. I'm reading Romans 7, the personal testimony of Paul, verses 14 to 25. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, soul under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. That word "but now" means I did that before I was a Christian, but now that I'm a Christian, if I do wrong, it's sin. And believers need to know that. You know, when you were, you and I were not a Christian, we sinned without any marks if this is sin or not. But now that I'm a Christian, I know when I sin, and I do not know when I, it's just remarkable. All right? Verse 18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, in the person of Paul, nothing good dwells. For to do, for to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. For the good that I will do to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now, if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. A very serious, a very interesting passage. The first thing I see in verse 14 is that Paul states the fact. If you look at the first sentence of verse 14, the first fact you find is that the law is a spiritual. Look at what he said. For we know that the law is a spiritual. Now, most of theologians who believe in free will decree that the law is carnal. But the Bible says here the law is spiritual. So Paul reminds us that the law of God is spiritual in nature. All right? The law is a good thing. And it lays down rules for proper living. The very fact that it originated with God. You see, the law did not came from Abraham or from Moses, originated from God. Even though the Bible said that the law was delivered by Moses in John 1, the law came from God, and that's a proof positive that it is no bad. The problem does not lie with the law, but with you and me, the man, because it's so high that in a natural mind, we cannot do it. All right? So the fact number one is that the law is a spiritual, but also in verse 14 said that the flesh is sinful. Look at what he said in verse 14. For we know that the law is a spiritual, but I am carnal, that means I'm fleshly, soul under sin. And now some people say, well, this was before his salvation. No, this is after his salvation. He's writing about him. He's talking about himself 30 years later of his salvation. And so the word carnal means fleshly. While the law will teach man how to live in a good way, man's flesh is only interested in that that's sinful. There is a fight between doing right and wrong. And you young people can bring that to your mind, and we adults too. What are we supposed to do? What are we supposed to do right? But it's a fight between that condition. And so he states two facts. The law of God is good, but be careful, because sometimes we disobey that law, and that's very, very bad. And he's talking as a believer. He's not talking as an unbeliever. He's talking as a believer. Now, he's telling the facts that of his life, and then amazing. I said, you need to have God in this. He tells his failures. All over his books, he talks about his greatest studies. He talks about his a disciple of the greatest man in what today is Turkey. He talks about his great efforts in his sufferings, but here he's one-to-one, and he talks about his failures. Now, there is a context about verse 15 and 16 teaches that it's a context. And let me tell you before I read it, that Paul describes the struggle that exists within every believer this evening. There is a struggle. If you do not struggle to do right rather than wrong, you're not a believer. But if you're a believer, you always struggle. What is right? What is proper? So Paul is saying that he does not even know why he does what he does. And I'm going to look at it in a minute. All right? He wants to live right. He wants to say the right things and drink the right things. But before he knows what has happened, he has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Look, verse 15. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. In other words, he's saying, after all, the law is very good to me, because if I don't have the law, I do not know if I'm doing right or if I'm doing wrong. So the simplest way to understand what the apostle really is saying is that there is a part of him that affirms the law. There is a part that we intellectually, preaching from the pulpit, I endorse the law, all right? That new man who came to life on the road to Damascus wants to do the will of the Lord and strives to do so. But at the same time that he tried to do what God said, all right, there is another part of Paul that yearns for everything the laws deny. And that's the work of Satan that one day will end up the struggle of our life. That's the struggle that people go together. Now, in verses 18 and 19, he talks about the contestants, like in a football game, who is team one and team two. Paul tells us that there are two poles, he said. One wants to do right, and the other wants to do wrong. Let me read verse 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, Paul, nothing good dwells. The theologian, the remarkable philosopher, the man who is from the Sanhedrin, they said, nothing is good for me, he said. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. In other words, in a natural way, he is not doing, he will never do what is there. So in other words, there is a part of us that wants to please God in everything we do. But there is another part of us that fights us at every turn. Friends, these can be a very frustrating things. And verse 19 completed by saying this, for the good that I will do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. In other words, we have to be so careful every day in the way we talk and the way we deal and the way we have to be very cautious. Because is me doing this, or is the old man, or actually I'm going to put it in simple ground. Is the old man doing this, or the new man doing this? One of the things is the challenge was selling the other property of our church. And I want to do God's will, and I want to be so cautious that nothing is done that we want that. I want to let God unfold it. And as you talk to different business people, they give you all kinds of suggestions. Oh, you can do this, you can do that, and that, and that flies away. Thank God for me. I just want to get to the source of the matter from God. And until a broker in town told me, well, the only way you would be satisfied that you will have peace in your heart, you don't say God, but peace in your heart, is that you go and get an official commercial establishment to say that property value is this. Had nothing to do with sales, had nothing to do with this, had to do with the proper analysis of the property. Once you have that, you can come to me and say, I want to sell the property for this price. And I thought to myself, that's a good counsel, don't we? He said, don't fool around, don't ask this, don't ask the other. Don't try you to sell it. I thought to myself, don't try you to sell it. Try to find out if God wants to sell it. It's very, I tell you, the line between flesh and it's very line, and I'm responsible to the church. That scared me to death. So it's just on the very line. That's what the apostle said. In my personal life, there is a line over there. Now, it's amazing. Now, in verse 17 and in verse 20, he had the conclusion. All right? Twice in these verses, Paul tells us that the problem is his own nature. Look at verse 17. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. When we do wrong, it's the old nature in us. It's alive. It's not dead. I wish it was dead. We all be saints like in heaven, but it's not. And look at them, verse 19. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that are practiced. So twice in these verses, Paul tells us that the problem is him, the old nature, no God. The good news is that isn't the saved, the new Paul, that is constantly doing the evil and avoiding the good. All right? It is the old Paul who is still long for wickedness that is at fall. In other words, we need to be very careful as we live, because we still have the old nature, we call it. We still have that. And we need to be serious about when we answer, when we talk, when whatever we do, is the old nature or the new nature doing that? And that is important. Now, Paul's statement is not really one of resignation. I say, oh, I cannot do anything. It is one of victory. As I counsel to people, this is very important in the fact. I said, well, God said this, well, but I cannot do it. Well, then are you a believer or not? See, it's very serious. When people recognize, we have a couple that came here that come and visited us from another church, that really I was surprised how God worked in his life. These two people were believers, and they were doing awful wrong to each other. And as I give one text of the Bible only to the women, I said, well, you are a sinner. I said, but you are a believer. Here's a text for you. The guy really got mad. He said, you mean my wife, we got it right, and I, we got it wrong? You are gone. But here's a text. And she read the text. They had to serve her husband. You know, 1 Peter 3:1, you serve her husband, do this. She said, it's very hard. No, very hard. I have little cards on text card clue. So I give it 10 cards. Just put it everywhere in your home. And later on, they told me that he was reading the verse and he started crying. He was reading the verse and started crying. You never know what God's going to do with his word. But you see, the problem is not God. The problem is us. And when we recognize it, then it's a solution. And that's what Paul is saying here. See, Paul's statement is not one of resignation. He don't say, well, I cannot do anything. I'm in the flesh. You know, people say, well, what can I do? That you hear in counseling. So what can we do? We're in the flesh. We're not yet in heaven. So they brainwash their mind that they can sin and not feel conscious of sin. That's a very serious. So Paul is not one who is resigning to the situation. It is one of victory. He's telling us that there is a new man living in his body, and that new man is about the old sinful lifestyle. He's conquering that. That new man loves the Lord, and that new man will fight until the day he delivers from the fight and from the body of sin. It's just amazing. Just amazing. So he's telling the facts of his life. He's telling the failures. And now in verse 21 to 23, he will tell us his findings, what he finds in the scripture, how these. In verse 21, he finds a companion. Look at verse 21. I find then, see, he said, I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. See, I found a law in my life that I want to do what is right. I want to say what is right, but I had to be careful because there is a law of sin in me. So Paul's discovery is that every time he tries to do good, evil is always there. Every good work, every good deed, every good thought, every good motive, every good thing is challenged by evil. Everything you do, something right, young people, evil will try to challenge your life to turn around. All right, that's natural. If we are able to any good thing, it is always the result of a battle in our mind. All right, now verse 22, he makes a confession. Look at what he says. For I delight, that's a good word, for I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. And I think all of us can say amen, because you read the Bible and you enjoy it. You maybe don't know all the details, but you read the Bible and you are peaceful about it. If you're a Christian, you're peaceful. Now, you have to see unbelievers reading the Bible. When I read the Bible at McDonald's, some people are afraid. They go like this, you know. Some others do like this, like I said, let's see what. Like this little book is just so powerful that they're afraid of the little book. If I put the little book over there, so, oh, that's a Bible. They move like that. Like it's something wrong. You see, for I delight in the law of God. Only a believer did that. Only a believer, all right? Paul now let us in on a secret concerning himself. He loved the Bible. No wonder you can read Galatians as we completed the studies, and it's just so beautiful to see that he goes into the desert. He spent 3 years in Arabia just to find out what really God said, that he delights in the Word of God. He loves the law. He loves the Word of God. Whatever God has said in his Word is a delight to the Apostle Paul. Nothing disturbed him. Maybe confusing, maybe misunderstanding, but he knows that God has spoken. And when you got that kind of thought in your mind, you know you're a believer. That's a great testimony. Now, in verse 23, we have a captivity here. Verse 23 says, but I see another law in my members, he said, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Although Paul's heart is set in doing well, although he loves the Word of God, he loves the Bible, there is another part of himself that fights him at every turn and seek to bring him into captivity. You know, Jesus put it very good in Matthew 26 and verse 41. For all of us, Jesus said, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Isn't that clever how Jesus just dropped that information for us and Paul just applied? So this is a situation with which all of us can identify. Yes, I want to do right, but I have to be careful not to do what a sinful man will do. The inner man wants God. All of you, young people, adults, whatever, all wants God. Thankfully, there was nothing wrong with Paul's salvation, and there is nothing wrong with yours and mine. Even though Paul struggled with the flesh, he was still right with God. In fact, at the instant of salvation, the believer is right with the Lord as he will ever be. I want you to know that. The Lord Savior, the Holy Spirit convicts you. You believe. At that moment, you are saved, and that salvation is complete. Nothing changed when God does it. When God does it. Now, if you, by bad information, are led to be saved or something, and then you find that you doubt this and doubt the other, the question is, are you really saved by God? But when you are saved by God, the believer is right with the Lord as he will ever be. There will be no greater salvation. Some people have in theology, you read books, and you grow in your salvation. Your salvation is complete. There's no something that you and I did. It's something that God did. And God doesn't do things partially. He does things complete. Young people, you're all saved complete. You don't have to be afraid that one of your sins will take something from your salvation. Rather, you have to be emotionally moved that even though we sin, God still loves me with the same intensity at the moment that he saved me. You know, a great God? I tell you, that gave me peace in my mind, and I'm really excited about this. So we have these statements. And now Paul, before he closed, his personal testimony, he said, now I want to tell you what I believe, what I call in my paper, state his faith. Now, Paul's, in verse 24, speak about a problem. Paul expresses his desire to be free from his decaying flesh nature. Look at verse 24. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Is not that the cry of all of us as believers? Lord, free us from sin. Free us from troubles and problems in our own heart and mind, that we will be with you. So Paul really expressed that desire very powerfully. He wants to be free. I think he was frustrated and defeated by his own inability to overcome evil. He wants to be free, and that's what all of us should be, wanting to be free. In verse 25, he gave us a personal victory. I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. I believe the apostle is praising the Lord for the victory he has right now in the midst of his battle. Even though we fail and fall into sin, even though we come short sometimes so often, there are times when we grow in the Lord. There are times when we get his will right in our life, all right? There are times when we love like he does, he moves in our life in the same way that we want to. Those are victories times. And you know, how you remember victory time in your life, that you pray for something and everything comes together and you feel like a heaven. Things are gorgeous, all right? Those are victory times. Even in the middle of my worst day, Jesus is still working on the clay, and he's making me in his image. That's a victory. No matter how you slice that thing, it's a victory. When you say, oh, I got it this right. Oh, I got an answer to my problems. And you see the hand of God in your life. And sometimes God put us in a stretch and put us in a problem where our humanity comes to think rather than God. And I had to do for 35 years that for the church. You don't know the amount of people that talk to me, pastors in the area, that you don't have a building, you don't have this, you don't have this. What is that thing of the? You don't know how they talk about it, but I just listen carefully and drop the whole thing on some garbage can, because otherwise you become crazy. And it's the humanity. Some people told me this. Well, if you have a building, then when you retire, you left something. What a wrong statement. I left something. When I retired, I left lives that have found God in this church. I have left lives that have been amended because of the Bible. That's my church, not the building. But we have to be careful, because as a believer, we can make a mistake like that. And I fight that every day. But look at verse 25, Paul's proposal. He said, there's a personal victory. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. This verse is not a declaration of defeat. He is not saying that he will just keep wanting to do what is right in his heart while he keeps doing what is wrong in his body. He is saying this. What really he is saying is that he is not giving up the fight. There will be good days and there will be bad days, but he is going to stay on the course. He is not giving up. He's resolving to fight and to move and to go with the Lord. I have met people in this church. They don't come to church because, well, I've been there and nothing happened in my life. And I said, the problem is not the church, the problem is you. What if God don't want things to happen in your life? See, when we predetermine the course of action, is very bad. But when we say, Lord, we have this need, and you supply it, and the Lord will do it in a marvelous way. All right? I thought, what a lesson for the children of God. Instead of rolling over and making it easy for the flesh to gain its victory, let us fight and take our stand for God. Fight the flesh, fight sin, fight the will to do wrong. Determine this evening to renew the fight against evil and to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's very, very important. Now people say to me, how you do that? How do you do that? He said, did you brainwash? One pastor told me, did you brainwash yourself that you have a big church? No. I said, if I had two people, I have a big church. All right? How you accomplish this in your life? I found Philippians 4:13 a reality. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. My brother and sister, in every situation of life, personal or a situation that refers to something, some matters who are not spiritual but refers to our life, we need to trust God. He's going to give you strength. Sometimes the doors are blocked, and sometimes are more blocked, and sometimes are more blocked. But God is there. God is going to give you an opportunity. You don't go to look for a job and say, "Well, I wonder what it is." You say, "Well, God, this is a place. Is this your place for me?" And they say, no, okay, thank you, God, you avoid me. That's what I thought when I worked as an engineer. I only worked two places, and then I put my own company. But it is something that we need to come to senses. Times will be tough. Let not our flesh determine the outcome. Let us trust the Lord and wait for the outcome. He answered. He answered. Young people, one day God's going to bring a companion to your life. Don't get ahead of God. Let that companion come at the right time. And I never forgot this lady at 45. She said, Pastor, she came to me, I cannot find a man of God in my life. I said, I cannot find it either. But God will. It was in Pamela Reed, the secretary of our chief technician. Remember? What? Janet was. I don't know if you were there when she was. And one day she called me and said, you know, we have to do the wedding. I'm going to marry an Air Force pilot. They came to a restaurant and saw me and said, and I pray. He says, I'm a believer and I pray. I need to get married. I'm 51. Very soon I'm going to retire as a pilot. You look good to me. She said, well, you see Pastor Otero. They came to my office. They're in Palmer Radio. I called Mr. Camping, I remember. I said, I'm in trouble. These people want to get married. Well, the wedding, Gabriel. Amazing. She said, you're right. She said, but I kept the secret to pray and to pray and to pray. I never give up. God, if you want me to be married, and beautiful. Now they live in the East Coast. Every year they send me a car. We're still married, she said. The guy said, we're still married. And I said, thank you. I said, you helped me to trust. Now I tell you, we're all weak. Nobody here is strong. We're all weak. But we need to glue to each other and pray for each other and hold to each other strong and see victory, especially for our children, don't we? Especially for our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren for this old man. Let's pray. Father, what a blessing that the Apostle Paul opened his heart and tell us like it is. What a blessing that we understand that you save us. We were sinners. We have nothing to do with our salvation. You give us a new nature, total, full, like it's going to be in heaven. But meanwhile, we are in the earth. We fight. Help us to fight no more and to follow you in every detail. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen.